to me. If you've been at church very long, you've heard the passages Mark 16:16 read out loud a whole lot. And you've also heard Acts 2:38 a whole lot. And those passages deal with a number of things, but one thing that they both deal with is baptism. Baptism is something very controversial in today's religious world. Almost every single different denomination believes something differently. And so this morning, we're going to be discussing baptism. What is biblical baptism? And we're going to be asking four questions this morning. First, we're going to be asking what. What is baptism exactly? Second, why? Why is baptism important? Thirdly, who? Who is baptism for? Who is ready to be baptized? Who is not ready to be baptized? And then lastly, when? When should one be baptized? So at first, let's start with what. What is baptism? Well, baptism derives from the Greek word baptizo, meaning immersion or a perfect dipping. I have here quoted some scholars on the issue of baptism. Firstly, the scholar known as the Bishop of Cyclades, some Greek person, I'm assuming, he said this, and pay attention. The word baptize, explained, means a veritable dipping, and in fact, a perfect dipping. An object is baptized when it is completely covered. This is a proper explanation of the word baptizo. A second scholar, known by the name Professor Tim McGinnis of the Hellenic Institute in New York, this is around the 1890s, he said this. The Greek word baptize means nothing but to immerse in water. Nothing but to immerse in water. Baptism means nothing but immersion. In the Greek language, we have a different word for sprinkling. See, sprinkling and pouring are not included in baptism. He continues on saying, when you put a piece of wood into water and you cover it entirely, you baptize. You do what is expressed by the Greek word baptizo. And this is what baptism means. Now, there is another word which means to baptize, the word immergo. Scholar Alexander de Storza, he was a native Greek speaker, and he later became a Russian state counselor. He said this, the verb baptize, immergo, has in fact but one sole acceptation. It signifies literally and always to plunge. Baptism and immersion are therefore identical. And to say that baptism by aspersion is a synonym for sprinkling, is as if one should say immersion by aspersion, or immersion by sprinkling, or any other absurdity of the same nature. The point he's making is that if you want to say that baptism and sprinkling are the same, you're saying that immersion and sprinkling are the same, and that's absurd. They're opposites. See, scholars and lexicographers all agree, or mostly agree, that the Greek word baptizo and corresponding verb immergo are never associated with the acts of pouring and sprinkling. Baptism is always an act of dipping, a complete immersion. So now we know what the word baptism means, and we know what it means to baptize, a complete immersion. But our study of what is biblical baptism is only halfway done. See, now we need to ask the question, what does baptism mean to me? What does baptism mean to you? See, we ask the question, what does baptism do? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to see that baptism is not just a random act of obedience. Let's start in verse 3. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, knowing what? That our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So what does baptism do? Well, just as Christ was crucified, when we're baptized, we are putting our old man of sin to death. Just as Christ was buried in the earth after death, our bodies are buried in the water. And when we are raised, we are raised in newness of life, raised a new person. Now, does the water have special elements in it that just somehow gets our sin out of us? No. Baptism works because it's an act of obedience. But when we are baptized and we obey God, we are being cleansed, we are being washed, and we are leaving behind our old man of sin. So now we know what baptism is, and we know what baptism means to us. Secondly, we're going to look at the question of why. Why should people be baptized? Why should you be baptized? Firstly, we're going to see that we should be baptized because we want to do the will of our Father. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, please turn there. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 13, we read this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you want to be on the narrow path? Do you want to go through the narrow gate? That's the will of our Father. And the way that we get on that narrow path, the way that we enter the gate, is through baptism. Secondly, why should people be baptized? Well, you should be baptized for the remission of your sins and for salvation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we read, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Mark 16:16, we read, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Why should you be baptized? Well, do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want them to be remitted? Do you want to be saved? Well, that should be good enough reason for you to want to be baptized. You see, we should want to be baptized because we want to do the will of our Father, first of all. And we should want to be baptized because we want our sins forgiven. And because we want salvation. But that's not all. Because we should want to be baptized because we want the hope of heaven. In Acts chapter 7 and in verse 21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, then who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. What's heaven going to be like? What's it going to be like there in heaven? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we get a glimpse when Paul tells the Corinthians this. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." In Revelation chapter 7 and in verse 15 through 17, we read this. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." This is going to be you if we follow the word of God. "They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Why should you be baptized? Why should anyone be baptized? So that we can do the will of our Father. So that we can enter the narrow gate. How can we enter the narrow gate? Well, we need remission of sins. We need salvation. And how do we get salvation? How do we get remission of sins? Through baptism. And if we accomplish this, what do we have? A hope of heaven. And friends, that is why people should be baptized. And that is why you need to be baptized today. So far we've seen what baptism is. And we've seen why baptism is important and why you need to be baptized. Thirdly, we're going to raise the question, who is ready for baptism? Who is ready for baptism? You see, not everyone's ready for baptism. Not everyone needs to be baptized. Well, everyone needs to be baptized, but not everyone needs to be baptized. Never mind, you know what I'm trying to say. I'll explain it. You see, there are those who don't yet realize their need for, they don't yet realize their sinful condition. There are those that are ignorant of the Word of God. And they cannot be baptized because they do not know the Word of God. They cannot believe what they do not yet know. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Those who have not heard the Word of God cannot have faith. And those who don't have faith don't need to be baptized. Can you see the deduction right there? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, we read that when the eunuch asked if he could be baptized, Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. If he didn't believe, if he was ignorant of the word, Philip wouldn't have allowed him to be baptized. So we see that the ignorant are not ready to be baptized. But those are not the only people who do not yet realize their sinful condition. Also, the mentally handicapped are not able to realize their sinful condition. You see, that they cannot break or uphold a law that they cannot yet understand, that they cannot ever understand. They don't have the ability to comprehend what sin is. They cannot believe the Word of God. They cannot believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they cannot repent of sins that they don't know they have, that they don't have. They cannot confess with understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. And thus, they cannot be baptized. Baptism would be meaningless to them. In like manner, infants and children who are too young to understand do not need baptism. They do not realize their sinful condition. Just like the mentally handicapped, that they cannot believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They cannot believe His word because they don't understand. They cannot repent of sin. They don't have sin. They cannot confess with understanding that Jesus is the Son of God because they do not yet understand that principle, and thus should not be baptized. There are some in the religious world that say that infants are born with sin. So let's take a few seconds to refute that error. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 20, we read, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon who? Himself. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Not his sons, not his daughters. That was an Old Testament passage. So let's go to the New Testament. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 11. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. We read, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us shall give account of who? Himself to God." You see, we give this account for ourselves. Our children will not give accounts for what we did, and we do not give accounts for what our father did. And thus, infants are not in sin, and thus do not need to be baptized. So, who else doesn't need to be baptized? Who else is not ready? We've seen that those who do not yet realize, who are not able to truly realize their sinful condition, are not ready for baptism. But also, those who have not yet repented of their sin, those people are not ready for baptism either. You see, many believe that baptism will magically transform them from sinner to saint. That's not how it works. You see, it's imperative that we teach repentance before baptism. If a non-Christian desires baptism, but is not yet repentant of his sins, then what good is the baptism? He's still lost. Notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we read, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins. Did that verse say, let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins, and then repent? That's not what the verse said. It said, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins. Both must occur for remission of sins. So if we're just baptized, but we don't repent, the baptism was for nothing. Nothing has changed. Likewise, in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, we read that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Making the same point we've already established, that repentance is just as important as baptism and needs to occur before baptism, not afterwards. So this morning, if you want to be baptized, you need to ask yourself, have I repented of my sins? If you want to be baptized but you're not willing to give up your sin, then baptism for you would be meaningless. So far we've seen what baptism is. And we've seen who baptism is for. And so let's continue in that. Thirdly, those who should not be baptized are those who are being pressured into baptism. Those who are being pressured into baptism do not need to be baptized. You see, baptism is a commitment that must be made on an individual basis. Parents, let me ask you a question. Are you forcing baptism on your children? You see, guilting and forcing our children into baptism will lead to churches filled with uncommitted members because they didn't make that decision themselves. Baptism is a decision that they must make, and no one here can force them to make that decision. So before your children are baptized, you need to ask these questions. Do they truly believe in God and His Word? Do they have their own faith? Or is their faith yours? Do they understand the concept of sin and their need for redemption through Christ's blood? Do they understand the reason for Christ's death and resurrection? Are they truly willing to repent? And do they understand the power and the meaning of confessing Christ? You see, we need to always remember that it is important that we encourage our children to be baptized. We're not saying don't encourage them, but it has to be their decision and their decision alone. We don't need to be forcing them or guilting them into baptism. That will do nothing for them. Encourage them, but let them make that decision when the time comes. So not only are those who are being pressured into baptism not need to be baptized, but lastly, those who would use baptism as a means of social acceptance do not need to be baptized. Are there social benefits within the church to becoming a member of the body of Christ? Yes. There are people here that are really good friends, and they do things outside church together. There are people here that do business together. But that's not the main focus of the church. And that is not the reason for baptism. It is merely a byproduct. You see, we must remember that the gospel is a redemptive message. In Romans 1, chapter 16, we read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." What is the gospel? "For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." The gospel is for salvation. It is to be saved from hell, fire. It is not a means of social acceptance. Baptism is not a means to please you, to please men. It's a means to please God. If you want to be baptized this morning, you need to remember that. That you're doing this to please God, not yourself, or not anyone else in this room. So we've seen who should not be baptized. But now let's talk about, for a few minutes, who is ready to be baptized this morning. Well, those who believe in Christ and His Word are ready to be baptized this morning. But let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. This is the case of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 36, we read, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" Do you believe in Christ and His Word this morning? Well, then you may be baptized. Just like Philip said, the Ethiopian eunuch could be baptized. You may be baptized if you believe in Christ and His Word. So who else is ready? those who realize their sinful condition and have repented of their sin. Again, I quote Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If we repent of our sins, then we have obviously realized that we have sin in our lives. So if you realize the sin in your life, and you can think and you know them, and you're willing to change your life, and you're willing to walk away from your sin, then baptism is for you, and you are ready to be baptized this morning. Who else is ready to be baptized? Well, those who are capable of understanding and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Back in Acts chapter 8, let's finish up verse 37. Remember, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he, being the Ethiopian eunuch, answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans 10, verse 9, we read, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? These days, we don't understand how important that is. We don't understand what a big deal that is. And actually, as times get worse, as there's more pressure being put upon us, more mockery, I think we're going to be realizing what a big deal confessing Jesus is. This morning, do you want salvation? Do you want to be baptized? Well, if you do, you're going to have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're not willing to do that, if you're ashamed of the gospel, if you're ashamed of Christ, baptism isn't for you. It'll get you a little bit cleaner, but it won't make your sins go away. So now, lastly, let's talk about when should one be baptized. So far, we've seen what baptism is, first of all. And we saw why baptism is important. And we've seen... What did we see? Yeah. Fourthly, when should one be baptized? Well, man says that we should be baptized later. Many denominations practice baptism after salvation, and thus they put it off because they don't understand the urgency of baptism. It's interesting that even people who are considering true baptism, people in the church, are putting it off. In Acts chapter 24, Acts 24, verse 24 and 25, this is the example of Felix. In Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and 25, we read, "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" People put off baptism because they're looking for a convenient time. They're looking for a time when it's going to be easy. Maybe when there's less pressure. Brethren, that time is never going to come. As far as we know, Felix never did obey the gospel. And he's going to pay the price for it. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to pay the price because you're waiting for a convenient time? Brethren, don't wait. You see, man may say later, but the scripture says immediately, now. The Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He had the attitude, "I want to be baptized now. I see the urgency of being baptized now. Immediately." In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, this is the case of the Philippian jailer. After he's been taught by Paul and his family, the scripture says that the Philippian jailer and his family were baptized, and I quote, immediately. They were baptized immediately. They didn't wait. They knew the urgency of being baptized now. And our last passage this morning, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Ephesians 5 and in verse 14 through 16, we read this. "Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, see then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.'" Are you redeeming the time? Are you taking advantage of the time that you have now to obey the gospel? If you're waiting, you're wasting all that time. You're sleeping, and you need to wake up. Because now is the time. Not tonight, not Wednesday night, not next week, not next month, not next year, not 10 years from now. It's now. What are you waiting for? There's no excuse for waiting. This morning we've discussed what baptism is. It is an immersion in water. We discussed why baptism is important, because you need to be saved. We discussed who is ready for baptism, those who are willing to confess Christ, those who are willing to repent of their sins, and those who believe in His Word. And we discussed when baptism should occur: now, immediately. Perhaps you've been baptized already and need to come forward this morning and repent of your sins. Now's the time to repent of your sins. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not next week. Now is the time. So whatever your need be this morning, please come now as we stand and sing.